Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you. We're so glad that you're here on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about our giving is part of God's chain of grace. So as we begin this morning, let's stand together and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there for our call to worship in your bulletin. Come into God's presence with thanksgiving.
We serve the Lord with gladness.
Know that God is truly with us.
We rejoice in God's abundant grace.
Come, let us worship the ever-present Lord. Well, let's join together there. We're going to sing hymn number 698, When We All Get to Heaven. And we are going to be singing the first three verses there this morning of it. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His in the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing. Let's sing the chorus or the refrain again. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer. Loving God, we are yours. We come as we are with our thanks, cares, and concerns. We long to touch you and find healing in your grace. Strengthen our faith and heal our brokenness that we may worship you with joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated, and we're going to go to hymn number 429. Carla started us off there with her prelude this morning with Amazing Grace. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 this morning there.
Amen. to come down this morning? You're the only one. Oh, yeah, that's right. Where is Daniel? He was sitting up here. Did he stay back? Oh, he's sitting on a comfortable seat. That's not me. Come on, Daniel. Come on down, buddy. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Huh? So you're with Grandma, and you're with Grandma and Grandpa. Yes, both of you are. That's cool. That's cool. So I'm going to ask you, we just sang about it, that song, Amazing Grace. Now, sometimes we hear that word grace, and we wonder what it is. What do you think? Okay. Now, sometimes we may hear the word grace. Has anybody ever said, let's say grace, and they mean to pray before you eat? Yeah. Okay. So we've heard that one before. Yeah. Yeah. So what does grace mean? Grace, you said you never heard the word before. Are you going to guess at it? Okay. Go ahead. Okay, yes, it is anything related to God. Because the reason, all the reasons why God does what God does is because of grace. So all the things that God does in our world and in our lives and for us and for all of us is because of grace. Now, let me give you a little bit different understanding of grace. I want you to think of grace as God's life-giving favor. So, what do we mean by life-giving? So every morning when you get up and you go, or when you wake up, guess what you're still doing? You're still living, aren't you? Yes, yes. And hopefully we grow till we're real old. But every day when we get up and we take a breath and we wake up in the morning, we're still living. And that's because God's life-giving favor is always upon us. And when we trust in God and in Jesus, that is always coming into our life, God's favor. So if I say, Daniel, I'm going to do a favor for you. Okay, there you go. See, that's the right answer. What is it? Sure. What are you going to do? And that's the same way with God. God's grace is God's favor. It means that God is doing things for us. And many times, sometimes when we pray, we ask God to do things for us. But God is always doing things for us that we don't even ask for or know about. Because God is trying to make our world a better place. And He works with each one of us in our world, and so that we can be better people to make a better world. And also, He wants to touch each person in our world. And He does that by helping us to see who Jesus is. Because Jesus exemplifies God in all the ways. Okay? All right. So, I'll do you a favor if you do me a favor. Okay, yes, and that's the right response. But is that the way God works? No, I don't want you to think that way. Yes, yeah. Because a lot of Christians think that's the way God. God, I'll do this for you if you'll take care of that. But that's not the way God works. God just does favors for us. And sometimes He doesn't want anything in return. But I think He does want one thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so we can always say thank you. Did your mom, dad teach you to say thank you? They did. Oh my God! I bet you they did. How about please? Did they ask you to say please? Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. That was the first one we taught Chase to say please and this, which means more. When he was little, more food. Or pizza. Yes, yeah. Okay, you can go on back to your seats this morning.
As we go to our time of prayer this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning as we get ready to pray here in just a moment. And so we will begin with any of you this morning. Someone this morning. Yes. Is it Thursday? Okay. Okay. Where is it at OSU?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we want to remember Bonnie in our prayers as she's going to have surgery this week. They're going to take that tumor out of her throat area there and praying that they'll be able to get all of that and everything, maybe other areas of it too, that's been affected. And somebody else. Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, is this her first year in 4-H?
She could have showed earlier, which she has, because these, what they call Midwest Series show,
yeah.
You don't have to be in 4-H to actually show in it.
Yes.
They've had kids as young as like 3 and 4 showing that series, but she finally won her age group.
That's wonderful. And that's sheep. I didn't know. I thought she was doing goats. Okay. I'll have to be watching for her in the sheep barn this year. So, somebody else. Okay, I'm not here. You started off loud and then you got quieter as you started talking about the request. So I know Marlon had passed. Does anybody know his last name? Okay. The reason is I usually pray for the family. I usually use the last name, but we'll just say Marlon's family. And then what was the second one? Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Yes. Yes, and they think they're going to keep uncovering people. And yes, thank you for mentioning that. I wanted us to pray for that. Definitely need that. Someone else? Anyone else?
A joy for Megan and Adam.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Yes. Very nice. Wonderful. Glad that they're. I was glad to see Smoke and Mary. I didn't know Grandma and Grandpa would be here today. After dancing up on the storm on the, Jennifer posted a picture on Facebook, and that's how I. Yes. And yeah, it was a wonderful time together and celebrating with them. Someone else. Okay, we got. Who?
Merlin's mother, Jones.
Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then, go ahead.
We lost our sister this week with cancer. Mm-hmm. The Woker family.
Say that again. The
Woker?
Okay. Okay. So we want to remember the Woker family with the loss of that loved one. Yes, and I'm sure I met her before. Yes, yeah. Someone else this morning. Anybody else? We want to pray for a couple other people. We want to pray for Linda Wilson. She at the wedding last night, I had already left, and I guess a little bit late, not too long after I left, she passed out. And they think she was dehydrated, and that's what Cara was saying to Jody this morning.
And so we want to remember Linda this morning and asking for God's touch upon her. And then also, I'd really appreciate your prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce. That's where she's at this morning, taking care of some things for him. One of the things that began to happen in the last 10 days is the chemo has made him have no appetite and not want to eat, and his mouth is full of sores. And because of that, he has gotten very weak. There was a couple days it was very scary. And we appreciate so much your prayers for him. And he just needs strength. And we thought it was all, and the doctors were concerned about dehydration and everything. And there was a little bit of that. But after he started going in, they said he could go in as often as he needed to get IV hydration, which he's been doing. But he's still very weak. And I'm concluding that it's lack of nutrition. Because the one thing that he said it hurts to eat is any kind of meat. And that's where he's going to get his protein. So we're trying to just do all various other things, and appreciate your prayers for him. He really needs that strength right now. Anybody else this morning then, before we go to prayer? Just a reminder, once in a while I say something about this, and I just was thinking about it, you know, with so many on our monthly prayer list that's battling cancer and different things. Maybe you, during your time there, just lift up those that are on our monthly prayer list too, that definitely need God's touch today. So as she plays this morning, give you a chance to pray there in your seats, and then I'll come and close us out. Gracious God, today we're thankful for your presence, for your grace, for your love, for your mercy, for your loving kindness that is with us throughout the days of our lives. And God, as we just pause in this moment, in your presence, we know that you're with us, and that your grace is being extended to us right now, seated in this place. And we're asking for your grace to be extended to those that we mentioned today, the individuals, the families, God, that need an extra dose, an overflowing dose, an abundant dose of your grace, your healing, your comfort and presence today in their lives. Lord, we lift up specifically those that have been mentioned, Linda, God, asking for your healing touch and strength for her, for Bruce, God, for your healing touch and strength for him. Cause his appetite to come alive again, and that he'll be able to get the strength back that he needs. for Bonnie, Lord, that's going in for surgery on Thursday. Your healing touch and strength for her. Guide the surgeon's hands that they will be able to not only take out that tumor that is in her throat area, but Lord, anything else that may be there that they need to get out, cancer around that area. Lord, that there can be healing in that area of her body, God. Lord, we lift up those that were affected in this collapse of this building in Florida. Oh Lord, I can't even imagine how fearful that situation must have been. And then family members that cannot find their loved ones. God, may you extend your grace and your comfort and your love into that situation. Give strength to those first responders that are just working around the clock to try to find people. Give people strength that may be trapped, the ability to be able to holler out and scream out so that they can find them and get help. Lord, we also lift up the Jones and Walker family, God, with the loss of these loved ones. Lord, that you will give peace and comfort and grace today. Thank you for that, for your hand that is with them during this time of loss. And we're thankful for that. Lord, thank you for the blessing of our joys that were shared this morning that we heard. God, we rejoice with those that are rejoicing today, and thank you for your goodness in our lives and the goodness that you bring about in so many different ways that we can be a blessing in turn and extend your grace to others. Thank you for this time that we can gather together and worship, Lord, praying your blessing upon the rest of our service and that you would grant your grace to us as we break the bread of your word and speak to us. Courage us, strengthen us, lift us up, edify us, and challenge us, we pray. Lord, I lift up our men and women that are serving right now and all of our first responders, our doctors and nurses, and so many of them that are still on the front lines working to curtail the virus, Lord. We still hear some places around the world and here at home that's still being affected by that. Lord, as we've kind of gone back to our daily lives, I think we've kind of forgotten that there are still people that are struggling and suffering, and we ask for your healing grace. And Lord, we continue to pray for peace around the world and peace with leaders around the world, that we will be a nation of building bridges and not dividing and conquering. And Lord, we continue to pray for our leaders. Lord, our president and the governors and the local leaders across our nation here, and continue to give them wisdom and guidance, and leaders around the world as they're trying to deal with all the issues and things that are going on in the midst of all of this. And we're grateful and thankful today. Continue to use us as a congregation to be a blessing. As we thank you for these things now and ask them in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and we want to just say thank you so much for your faithfulness. As God uses you,
you become a channel of blessing, and God uses that to extend through us out there into the world. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Join together, therefore, our dedication in the bulletin. Thank you, God, for your generosity that enables us to share. We dedicate our offering and ourselves to shaping the community you intend in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from our epistle reading, lectionary reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to be reading verses 7 through 15, and you can follow along on the PowerPoint there this morning. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious gift of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It will be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty,
and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scripture says, those who gather a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Year after year, Stumpy and Martha attended the fair in their home state. And every summer, it was the same story. Stumpy was tantalized by the old-fashioned biplane in which anyone could take a ride for $10. And Martha was disgusted by such an obvious waste of money. $10 is $10, she always said. And Stumpy would go home without an airplane ride. Well, one year, Stumpy said, "Martha, there's that biplane again. I'm 81 years old, and this year I want to go for a ride." Martha responded once again, "There you go again. Don't you realize that $10 is $10? At that point, the man who owned the biplane and who had heard this conversation as far back as he could remember intervened. "Listen, you two, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you both a ride for free if you promise not to say anything during the flight. If you speak even one word, I'll charge you the $10. Stumpy and Martha thought that sounded fair, and off they went. The pilot put on quite a show. He took his plane through through banks and spins and loop-de-loops, and then did the whole thing over again. Amazingly, he had never heard a single word out of the two of them. When the plane landed and he looked over at Stumpy and he said, "I'll have to admit, I'm impressed. You never spoke once." "Well," said Stumpy, "I was going to say something, but when Martha fell out of the plane, $10 is still $10. I found that online this week when I was doing some research. I thought, yeah, I think I'm going to share that. All in fun, all in jest there. So, I want to talk to you this morning about God's chain of grace. God's chain of grace. Have you ever tried to cut a chain? Now, the smaller chains, probably so. Use those bolt cutters. You know, you can cut through those. But on the farm, we had those chains that the thickness of them, the circle, was as probably as thick as my finger, or maybe my pinky, that we used to use to hook up to the tractor to pull things out, you know, bushes, pulled things out of that were stuck in the field or whatever it was. Sometimes to cut through the different types of chains, even with bolt cutters, seemed almost impossible, especially the big one. Now, when you're talking about dog chains, those you can get through pretty easily. But the bigger ones is hard. And that's why we use chains for all kinds of reasons, because they do not easily break. In our reading today, Paul reminds the church at Corinth not to break the chain of grace giving and finish gathering the funds needed for the church in Jerusalem, who were suffering through a famine for a second time within a decade. Paul was so greatly uplifted by the generosity of the various churches for the collection that he wanted to make sure the Corinthian church had a chance to give as well. Reflecting on our reading today, I want us to think about our giving. And I want us to think about it in this way. as you saw earlier. Our giving as part of God's chain of grace. In other words, through our giving, God's grace is extended to others in need. Two things I want us to consider this morning as we look at it. First of all, giving is the result of abundant grace in our lives and in people's lives. That's why we usually give. That's why most people give. And they're willing to is because they've already been blessed and touched in one way or another. And here's how I want us to look at this kind of this first one in two ways. First, grace is God's life-giving favor. That's what I was sharing with the kids this morning. Here's the thing, you know, have you ever watched that show on TV called Hoarders? And there's been a few of those situations where people, rescue people, police or whoever, when they call and somebody's hurt, they can't even get through the living room, the front door, and get back to where the person is sitting in their chair because they just have stuff piled up everywhere. They hoard everything. They never get rid of anything. Well, here's what I want you to see when it comes to God's grace in our lives. Grace is never hoarded. That's why God is always giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God is always giving. As I was trying to share with the kids, God is always given. In fact, we might say it this way, grace is never hoarded or it wouldn't be grace. In other words, if all we do is keep what God has given to us, then we're not really functioning in grace. It's got to go beyond us because it's a part of God's chain of grace. Now, Paul says, hey, I don't want you to give everything away so that you're suffering and everybody takes advantage of what you have. He's using wisdom there, isn't he? But he's saying, but you are blessed now, so give now when you can help. And then one day when you're in need, and man, as a pastor of some 26 years, I've seen that amazing chain of grace happen. One of our deacons at the last church I pastored had a great job in computers, making $60,000, $70,000 a year. And something happened, and I don't remember all the details, where he lost his job and was without work for 9 months. And one day in our board meeting, because I said he served as a deacon, he said, guys, this is really hard for me. He goes, because I'm a somewhat proud man. He says, we need help with our mortgage payment. Can you guys help? Yep. Right away, everybody on the board said, yep. And we did. You know, within those 9 months were up, he had a new job making that or more what he made before. And guess what? When people were in need in the church, he was one of the first ones to give, to help. The chain that happened there. And as we trust in the Lord, and that's the thing about it. A lot of people, they can say, oh, I trust in Jesus for my salvation, but then they struggle with trusting beyond that. I don't know, and I'm very, very thankful. Maybe it was because my dad taught us when I was young, when I went to church growing up, mom and dad always gave me a quarter, said, stick this in the offering. Stick this in the offering. I was taught early on to be a giver. And as we trust in the Lord, it opens up a channel of God's grace and favor, which enters into our lives. But guess what? Eventually, sooner or later, sometime, I'm not saying tomorrow or the next day or a week or a month or maybe a year from now, I don't know when, God, that channel will flow through you to somebody else. And here's Paul, and here in our reading, Paul paints grace as God's life-giving favor in the form of giving. Now, we all know God's grace is more than just giving. God's grace is extended into our lives in multiple ways. Forgiving our sins, sending Jesus, you know, as I talked about, healing, safety, protect, I mean, all kinds of, and we could just keep going on. We could exhaust the whole time. But in this situation, it's in the form of giving, which was channeled through the church to broken and hurting people. Famine had, and we know this even for outside sources beyond scripture, about the famines that took place in Palestine and in Jerusalem in that time period when Paul was on the scene. And the church suffered, and the churches in Asia, in Macedonia, northern Greece, if you're thinking about today, banded together, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, these churches banded together and came up with this collection to help the church in Jerusalem. Because God's life-giving grace is always overflowing. That's the thing that you get in Scripture all the time. Whenever Paul talks about grace, he's always talking about it overflowing, abounding. And it's always in abundance. You cannot, as I've heard preachers say, and I've said myself, you cannot outgive God. If God asks you to give to somebody to help them or give to the church or whatever the cause is, I've learned to obey. It's that simple. And God has always blessed and taken care of me. And here Paul encourages the church at Corinth to give, for God's grace is already overflowing in their lives and in their midst. He says, you already excel in all these things, and it's because of God's grace. He goes, now I want you to excel in a different area, and that's your giving. Giving is a result of abundant grace. Second thing I want us to see is giving is the result of the art of grace. Now, I chose that language for a purpose, because Paul pictures grace, if I could say it this way, as a carefully crafted painting in which our giving expresses the mystery of the layers of God's abundant grace. Because if you could think of your life as a painting, or the church's life as a painting, and you know, when you paint, a lot of painters, they'll start, have you ever watched Bob Ross? Okay, watch it on PBS. Just hearing him talk kind of makes you relax and everything. But when he starts over here, and he starts doing this, and then he adds some more, and then he starts doing some more, and he adds some more, and he keeps adjusting and adding layers to get what he wants. And that's the way it is with grace, because grace is operating in our lives, and as we obey and give, and giving is not just out of monetary things, money. It can be giving of our gifts, giving of our time, you know, giving of our abilities and all these kind of things. And it just keeps forming layers that expresses God's life-giving favor flowing from Christ to the church and through us. So there's my two things I want you to see. First of all, grace flows from Christ's generosity. This is all a part of that art of grace. Christ's generosity, or generous act of self-giving love on the cross, Paul says, flows to us. Paul uses the metaphorical language of Christ becoming poor so we can become rich, to express the hidden riches of God's grace in and through Christ's self-giving love on the cross. Anybody living in the first century would have known Jesus facing crucifixion was not a good thing in that day. We, on the other side, look at it as a good thing, but those that were, even his followers, when they saw him crucified, saw that like probably the Romans did, until they understood after the resurrection. God's grace flows when those with power and status are willing to give in order to raise others up. That's what Christ did. He gave his life. He left his power and status in heaven, came down and became a human being, as Paul says in Philippians 2, even in the form of a servant, and gave it all so that we might receive. And because of Christ's self-giving love, it resulted in grace being multiplied for everyone. Think about that for a minute, for all of us. Grace flows through the church's generosity. Here's what I want you to see. Think about this for a minute, if you can for a minute. Just imagine. The Corinthian given to the Jerusalem collection, as many call it, completed a movement of grace that began in northern Greece with other church, with Macedonia. If you read the very first verse of 2 Corinthians 8, he says, I thank God for the Macedonians and their giving, which flowed as Paul carried the gift to Jerusalem to be poured out among the needy there. That's the chain. That's the chain. And when we give, it is a powerful and simple way for God's grace to reach into human beings and human lives and make a difference. I was reading about a pastor in Indiana who received a call from a man outside his church whose car had gone into the shop to be fixed and it wasn't working. The repair bill, or when the repair was completed, the bill was much greater than what he could afford to pay. So he called the church and asked the pastor, can you help me out? Would the church be willing to offset the rest so I can get my car back and make sure I'm going to work and everything? And then he told the pastor this, it's crucial that I hear back from you by Friday. As the pastor was heading out the office for the day, a couple met him at the door. Could we talk to you for a few minutes, they asked. The pastor was already late for his next appointment, and he says, well, to tell you the truth, I can't really talk right now, but if you'll come along with me as I walk out to my car, you can tell me. And they said, oh, that's okay, not a problem. We'll just walk with you, because we only need a minute. Now listen to what happens. This is a true story, by the way. This is God. Years ago, we had received a gift from this church to help us through a tough time in our lives. God has been doing wonderful things for us, they said. So now we want to give back what you gave to us years ago. They handed the pastor the check, and it was just what was needed to cover the other half of that man's repair bill to fix the car. Look at that. An instant after receiving that phone call, God answered. That is part of God's chain of grace in action. Through committed, I think in our reading it said enthusiastic, but the Greek word means committed people who give because they have received of God's abundant favor. What a blessing to be a part of God's chain of grace. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to close out. But before we do, we're going to let you stand and greet one another. Give a few fist bumps or elbow taps or whatever you want to do. I don't care if you shake hands. You're comfortable with it. And then we'll close out.
Thank you.
he ready to blow them out already? Yeah, I feel bad. I should maybe make some copies. I've done coloring sheets in the past. I need to get back on and print off some of those. The one that I use for years now, they want finances to be able to be a part enough to sign in and everything. You can go ahead and start playing. Yeah, that's fine. Close out, Jesus' name above all names, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God. Together for our benediction. Go now, carrying God's life-giving grace to a weary world.
We will share and deliver the grace of God.
May God respond to your every cry with mercy. May Christ Jesus take you by the hand and lift you to life. And may the Holy Spirit build you up in faith. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.